This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Listening to Place Nation Pop's Great Debate, a spirited discussion forum covering topics in the world of movies, music, television, sports, and pop culture. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place Nation, Merry Christmas to you all. Happy New Year coming up. I am Andy Atherton, your host. Welcome to another episode of The Great Debate. This is our Christmas-themed episode, a lot of Christmas-themed shows coming on lately on the wrestling feed, the pop feed, all the feeds. Everybody's having a good time, enjoying themselves, because this is the most wonderful time of the year. Let me bring in the panel that we're going to break down some fun Christmas questions. Hopefully there are no, Yankee swap type shenanigans going on here with people getting pissed at each other. Bring them in. First, let's introduce Logan Crosland. How you doing, Logan?
I'm doing great, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for being on Great Debate tonight.
I'm always happy to be on with you, Andy.
I don't know if you can say about some of these other people. Scott Shiflett. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, Andy. This is my favorite time of the year. Thanks for having me on. Can't wait to discuss what we're going to talk about.
All right. Cool. Also, Matt Souza. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Andy, thanks for having me, and I would like to apologize to everybody here for what you're about to listen to, because, given who's involved, there's a good chance we're going to have some arguing, so.
And that leads us into our final panel member, Sean Kidd. What's going on, Sean?
I like how I get the setup to be the arguer, because I'm the final guy, and that's how it was set up, but just like the Mount Rushmore we just recently recorded, which was also Christmas, I'm very happy to be here with two of my favorite people, and then Logan and Souza. So it should be a good episode. How you start.
Merry Christmas to you all and to all. Good night. All right, here we go. So, yes, we have a lot of fun questions. They're all going to be holiday themed. And we're going to try to hit all the different mediums, if you will, movies, music, treats, all that stuff, fun stuff you just do around the house with your family. So we're going to start off, though, with a question I really love to do every episode. We take a role and we break down all the people that are portrayed that role. And we're doing the big guy himself. We're doing Santa Claus. So we're going to rank the actors. I'm going to ask you who the best big Santa Claus was, and then we'll rank the actors that have portrayed him. So, Logan, we're going to start with you. Which is your favorite or best big screen Santa Claus?
I'm going to have to go with Tim Allen on this one. He's just the one that I grew up with. So, when I think of Santa Claus, I think of Tim Allen in the Santa Claus movies.
All right. Very good. Let's just go around, then we'll do the rankings. Okay. So, Shiflett, who do you think is your favorite or best big screen Santa Claus?
I got to go with Logan for the same reasons. Tim Allen in the Santa Claus. I grew up watching those movies. Santa Claus 1 and 2 is in the yearly rotation of movies I watch every Christmas. I can just never get old. I just love all of it. Tim Allen is my Santa Claus.
Why not Santa Claus 3?
Because it's terrible.
Oh, come on. Anne Margaret and Alan Arkin are Santa's in-laws? Come on.
But then you have Martin Short as
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost.
As Jack Frost, and it's just terrible.
It is a terrible movie.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like, the second movie is, we're on the edge, but I like the robot Santa Claus that is made, that everyone's on the naughty list. I do like that. And, the love story is kind of decent with Mrs. Claus. The kid's a dick. He's like, oh, my dad's not Santa. Listen, kid, just shut up.
I'm not a big fan of Charlie in these movies. He's kind of a jerk. Elizabeth Mitchell, very hachi. Matt, who's your best big screen Santa Claus?
So I had a couple of names written down. First of all, Bill Goldberg from Santa Slay. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that to start. But I did have Tim Allen written down as well. But I'll give a different name, and that is Ed Asner from Elf. I thought he was really good as Santa. So.
Yeah, he was really funny. He was like cranky Santa.
Yep. Weird, because I'm a cranky guy, so, you know. Weird that I'd be drawn to that Santa.
All right. Sean, who's your favorite Santa?
So just like Scott and Logan, I'm going to pick one that I grew up with, but obviously that would not be a Tim Allen. But I'm also going to go with Sousa and pick a grumpy one. So I'm picking Jeff Gillen from A Christmas Story. So Chris, you can boo all you want. The Christmas Story next to Christmas Vacation, the second greatest Christmas movie of all time. And that is the Santa I grew up with. And we can all relate to the Santa in the mall and him being pissy with kids. And that is just, I love that scene in that movie. So it's absolutely, that's who it is for me.
So let's kind of go around and rank Santas. Logan, did you do any kind of rankings in terms of actors that you've seen portray him?
Yeah, I wrote down four. Tim Allen is my first, obviously, that we went through. The Santa Claus from Miracle on 34th Street is really good. He's a good, solid guy, and that's a really good movie as well. I wrote down the one from Elf as well. I'd kind of put him third because he just isn't in that movie a ton. I mean, he's in the beginning and the end a lot, but kind of in the middle portion of the movie, he's not really in there much. And then I put The Christmas Story last because he's kind of a dick.
Imagine me picking him.
Yes, Miracle on 34th Street, that was the great Richard Attenborough, a.k.a. Now I totally botched on his character in Jurassic Park.
old guy.
Park owner
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. Yeah. No expense. Yes. All right. Scott, did you rank any Santas?
Yeah. It's only three, but they're all pretty high up there for me. Tim Allen in the Santa Claus is number one, obviously. I'm skipping two, but number three is Ed Asner in Elf. He's only in there for a couple of scenes, if maybe just one scene, but I always enjoy that movie. And number two is Billy Bob Thornton in Bad Santa. I mean, he's like the store Santa, but he's still Santa as Willie. That movie, that's also one I have to watch every year. I mean, if you have kids, probably don't let them watch it, but I just love that movie. The second one sucks. I'm not even going to watch the second one, but I just love the first one with Thurman Merman, with the little elf and everything. It's John Ritter's last movie. Bernie Mac's great in it. I just love it.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Matt, did you rank Santas?
Yeah, so I'd probably have Tim Allen number one, too, and then I'd go with Ed Asner second, and I would go with the guy from Christmas Story, whose name escapes me at the moment, third. And yeah, that would probably be it. Oh, and honorable mention to Bill Goldberg for Santa's Day.
All right, Sean, let's get your ranking.
So I won't make fun of the Bill Goldberg because I'm sure mine's going to get shit on here a little bit. So, number one for me, the guy from A Christmas Story, his name's Jeff Gillen. So he's not in a whole lot of things, but that's who I'm going to pick. Number two for me is also Miracle on 34th Street. However, it is from the original version, Ed Gwynn, that had the Natalie Wood version. He will be my number two. Richard Attenborough will be number three. I would have Asner at four, Tim Allen at five. And then honorable mention would be Mickey Rooney, who would play Santa Claus in a majority of those Rankin Bass. But yes, those are TV shows, not movies. But those would be my rankings.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, Sean, did you see the original Miracle on 34th Street in theaters? Or
I did see it in theater. I saw
it. Oh my God! I was kidding.
Yeah, it was amazing. yes, ate my Cracker Jacks. Yes, very good.
That was his midpoint, Sousa.
Saw the newsreel beforehand, and you know.
was the first talkie he ever went to. It was a big day in Sean's life.
It was a big day in my life. It was a great Christmas that year.
Yes. And it was John Hammond. That was the character from Jurassic Park. Just so you know. Yeah, I've quickly got a list up here. Let's see who nobody said here. Was Bryan Cranston apparently played Santa Claus in 2001. It's what they call the Santa Claus Brothers.
I knew none of this.
Then we had what about Paul Giamatti and Fred Claus? He didn't do a bad job there.
Yeah, I think it's kind of an underrated one. It kind of flies under the radar. It's like one of those like Four Christmases that is starting to build on me a little bit, but it's kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
It's because Vince Vaughn is in it.
Yeah.
Well, I like Vince Vaughn, so I'm good
with
it.
That's unfortunate.
Yes.
Even though it's a creepy movie, anybody think anything of Tom Hanks' voice work in Polar Express?
I hate Polar Express.
Yeah, I hate Polar Express, too.
It's boring. Yeah. Not a fan of that.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
Not a fan.
It just looks
keep it that way, Shiplet.
Yeah. Yes, it looks very creepy, like the kind of movie that'll give you nightmares. So there you go. What about the Christmas Chronicles? Anybody watch that on Netflix?
Kurt Russell? Yeah, it's just too new. I don't think I can rank them yet. And the second one's terrible. I watched the second one this past weekend with my kids, and it was terrible.
And then there was George Wendt played Santa in the movie where I guess Jenny McCarthy played Santa's daughter.
Oh my God.
That sounds like one of those shitty Hallmark movies.
Are we digging the bottom of the barrel? We're going to George Wendt with a Jenny McCarthy movie.
A Dirty Work Christmas.
Yes. Then they had Anna Kendrick in Noel, which was on Disney+. Yeah. Where Bill Hader doesn't want to be Santa, but she does. So, okay, let's let her.
You know what? You can't also Artie Lang and Elf.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's an underrated one, too. He's a real dick in that.
And also the guy, we talked about this on the Laughing Theater, Home Alone. The guy who played Animal in Armageddon was Santa in Home Alone.
That's right.
Yep.
That was a fun one. All right, cool. Next question. What are some of your favorite Christmas TV show episodes? Special, like, you know, every show does, mostly sitcoms do Christmas-themed episodes every year. So we're going to start with Scott. Scott, give us a favorite Christmas TV show episode of yours.
I actually have three written down, so I'm just going to run through them real quick. The very first one for me is the Christmas Party episode of The Office, season 2, episode 10. It's famous for the Yankee Swap. Where Michael buys the iPod and then is pissed off that everyone spent just the regular amount, so he doesn't like his gift, so it turns it into Yankee Swap. The Office, in my opinion, has a lot of good Christmas episodes, but that's just my personal fave. And then the White Christmas episode of Black Mirror, which it's a depressing episode, but it's technically Christmas. If you're a Black Mirror fan, that's a great episode. And a very supernatural Christmas for the Supernatural TV show. I believe that's season 4. And that was a good episode as well. And I like those are three of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm actually almost done with The Office. I'm in season 9. I just got past that Christmas episode. And that one was so funny. He gets the gloves at Phyllis, the oven mitts at Phyllis Day, and he wants Ryan to get the iPod.
Yes.
And it just ends up going everywhere. So, yes, lots of fun that episode. Matt, what are some of yours?
So I have two written down, and I'll just mention them. The Strike from Seinfeld, of course, Festivus. I mean, what more can you say about that episode? It's iconic. And the other one I want to mention is Luda Christmas from 30 Rock, which is a tremendous episode with Liz Lemon, Tina Fey's parents come in. I think her dad's played by Buck Henry or something. Andy Richter plays her brother, and he has like amnesia. He keeps thinking he's going on like a skiing trip the next day. He's like reliving the same day over and over again. It's absolutely hysterical, and it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. All right. I'm 30 Rock is one of my next sitcoms to binge, so I will get that in like a few months. I'll understand. All right, Sean, what are some of your favorite Christmas episodes?
So I have The Office on there. I have The Seinfeld on there. And here's where I kind of differentiate. So I'm not a big fan of Friends, but I do like the Armadillo one. I think that's a pretty funny one. Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh from South Park is also one of a very family favorite in my household. We watched that the other night, so like that one. So that's with me and the kids. On the wife and I side front, the Glee, a very Christmas episode. You know, they sing a bunch of Christmas songs. It's Glee. My wife loved that show, so kind of used to that one. And then the last one, no surprise here, I picked Brady Bunch, The Voice of Christmas, where Carol Brady loses her voice for the choir, and Cindy goes to Santa Claus and asks for her voice back. So that would be my last one. So go Brady Bunch.
All right. Logan, you got any?
I wrote down three, and it's three that have already been mentioned. I wrote down the Christmas party for The Office where they do the Yankee swap. I wrote down both of the Mr. Hankey episodes, the original, and then the one where he comes back with his kids, where one of his kids has like a peanut in his head. So he's kind of like challenged, I'll say, I guess. And then I wrote down the Christmas armadillo from Friends, because that's always a great episode. So
too much green, Logan.
Yeah, nothing new, but those three always stood out to me. So,
all right, I wrote down a couple. I have Modern Family, Undeck the Halls, was a good one. The Home Improvement, I'm Scheming of a White Christmas. Cheers always had some fun Christmas episodes, and again another George Wendt as Santa. And I think two of my all time favorites. I might have mentioned this on, I think it was on the Christmas Vacation episode. But Married with Children had two very funny Christmas episodes. I forgot what the first one is called, but it's where a drunk Santa Claus skydives and is supposed to like give out like all these like coupons or something. And he ends up, well, he was supposed to be sober and he gets drunk and he ends up landing on the Bundy's fence and dying because he impaled himself. Mm-hmm. And Al has to go outside and talk to the children and convince them that he's Santa. And I remember one of the best lines is they all come and sit on his lap and tell him what they want. And one of the kids goes, Santa smells like beer. And he goes, come back in a few minutes. Santa's going to smell like hard liquor. And then we also have It's a Wonderful Life, where Al was fixing his doorbell and he gets shocked. And he comes to, and Sam Kinison is there as his guardian angel. And kind of, and it's a Wonderful Life parody. It kind of shows him.
That's an iconic episode.
Yep. Yes, what his life would be like. And he's like, I'm looking for an Al Bundy. He goes, I'm Al Bundy. No, would you stop playing Nintendo up there for a minute? So, and they're all happy. And actually, this is before Ted McGinley joins the cast. He actually plays the husband and father of the Bundys. If Al had never been born, and they're nice, they're happy, they're successful, still living in the same shitty house, but still. And he decides he wants to live because they aggravated him so much, and they deserve to be miserable for what they did to him.
That's the kid, and he ruins everything.
Yes, yes, he is. He's the patron saint of jumptheshark.com, if you guys didn't know that.
A couple other ones. Frasier and Fresh Prince also had some pretty good Christmas episodes. Yes. Kind of like honorable mention. So.
All right, Matt, what are some Christmas treats that you love?
Oh, boy. So, I have two written down, but I guess I'll mention one of them. Eggnog. Give me all of it. I don't care what flavor. I don't care what brand. I will drink it all. Eggnog, for sure.
All right. And you got any more you want to mention quick?
Oh, I can mention the second one, too, if you want.
Go ahead.
Anything gingerbread related, like cookies or, you know, gingerbread itself. I love all that stuff, too. Give me all that stuff.
Do you do gingerbread houses every year?
We used to. It always ended poorly.
Even if you have a kit, it's usually not. Usually kind of looks like a hot mess.
Yeah.
All right. Sean, what are some of your favorite Christmas treats?
So the first one I would say is whiskey, but I drink that year round. especially on Christmas Day when my sister-in-law is here. I love to drink the whiskey.
If you don't mention your sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I cannot mention her. But anyway, I make Oreo balls, and then we decorate them like my kids and I make them. So that's kind of my thing to do with the kids on Christmas Eve. I love the Christmas holiday candy, so give me some Christmas peanut M&Ms any day of the week, or any of the other like Christmas-themed candy, I'll eat it. The cookies, just like Matt said, any type of the cookies that be it gingerbread, it doesn't matter what kind of cookie, I'll eat it on Christmas. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, the Oreo balls, the candy, and the cookies.
All right. Logan, what about you? What are some of your favorite Christmas treats?
I wrote down three. I put down Little Debbie's Christmas tree cakes. We always had those growing up. My grandma always had them whenever we went there. But those are always yummy. I don't know what anybody else calls it, but it's called Puppy Chow. It's like Chex Mix with like peanut butter, chocolate, and powdered sugar on it. It's really good.
What?
That's delicious.
I've never heard of that.
Some people call it white trash too, but I think we call it puppy chow. I think that's what my mom called it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. I wrote down hot chocolate. I don't know if that counts, but this time of year is about the only time of year I have any hot chocolate. So, and we have a ton of it at my house. So, that would be my third one.
All right. And Scott, what about you? What are some of your favorite Christmas treats?
So I like these, they're called peanut butter blossoms. Mm-hmm. Basically a peanut butter cookie with a Hershey kiss.
Yes.
I love those. Chocolate chip cookie bars that my wife makes with like M&Ms in them. Me and her went through a pan in like a week and a half of it. It's not good for my diet.
Do you do shipping on those, by the way?
I'll talk to you after the pot.
Okay, sounds good.
And another thing is that my mom makes like these, they're basically like just like sausage balls. Like she got the recipe on the back of a Bisquick thing and she makes them at Christmas and I love them.
I actually downloaded that recipe to do this year. Are they good?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I always howl my mom around Christmas because that's the only time she makes them. I guess you could theoretically make them year round, but she just limits it to the month of December. So I'm like, hey, you're bringing those for Christmas, right? Like, you know, you can bring yourself too, but make sure you bring that. That's how I want it.
Ah, yeah. Some of the ones that I love are the Christmas cookies. You know, we got a lot of Italian cookies up here, but, you know, they look like a pretzel, but it's really just a cookie with like, it's almost like an Oreo, but it's like a sandwich cookie and it's like a jelly in the middle. They do Christmas tree looking ones. Then they have like the one that's almost like a brittle, but it's like a chocolate and stuff. And then there's also Rugola that we get a lot around here. And also those peanut blossoms, whatever they're called, those are so good, especially homemade ones and done right. Oh, so good. And you get the Italian bar, like tricolor cookies we see a lot too around here at those times. But yeah, I definitely need to get on making some puppy chow though. My mind's been blown now. So
I'll send you the recipe.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely will be making that in a couple weeks. All right, so Sean, share some of your favorite holiday traditions.
So many for us. So number one is obviously decorating. I said a couple pods I've already done, it takes us a week and a half to decorate for Christmas because we are full Griswold in my house, including the much-hated Harry Potter tree that I hate. but anyway, yeah, so that's a big deal for us. Let's see. The Christmas movies are always a big tradition for us. We open a present each the night before. So that's always been a tradition since I was a kid, and we continue to do it now. And then a big part of the tradition is, you know, we always do friends and family. Usually we do a friends dinner party and a family dinner party. But obviously with COVID this year, we didn't get to do that. We're still going to do some stuff on family for Christmas Day, though. And then a big part's the food. Like, Christmas morning, we do a chit beef or an egg bake. And chit beef is like my favorite meal ever. So I literally get it once or twice a year. And it's either on Thanksgiving or Christmas. And then we flip flop between that and an egg bake. And then we do a big dinner with either London broil or steak. So those are a few of my favorites.
Nice. We don't get chit beef up here a lot of places. And I never had.
Make it. My wife has a recipe from her mom that's absolutely amazing. So
first time I had it was in Pennsylvania, where my sister was going to school in a small town called Mansfield, Pennsylvania, 5 hours from Westchester, where we lived. And I remember I was eating it. My father's looking at me like, "You like that?" He goes, "I couldn't stand it. So they gave us in the army." I was like, "No."
Some people like Logan talked about his thing earlier being called white trash. Some people call it chip beef shit on a shingle. So
yeah, that's the way. I've heard it white shit on toast.
Yeah, shit on a shingle is what they call it. Yes.
It's also like, I think Scrapple is also perceived the same way too.
Oh, I would eat Scrapple any day of the week.
I'm not the biggest fan. You guys ever had Scrapple?
I've heard of it, but I've never had it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had it.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste to me.
It definitely is. Definitely is.
Yeah. All right, Logan, what are some of your favorite holiday traditions?
I wrote down two. I just wrote down watching Christmas movies with family. That was something my family always did around the holidays. You know, we always watched the Home Alone movies. We watched Elf once it had come out, was on TV all the time. You know, just a bunch of other, and the Charlie Brown special that always comes on. But just watching movies with family at the holidays, it's always a fun time. And then I wrote down the Christmas Eve service, where at the end you hold up the candles for Silent Night. I always thought that was a really cool tradition to do at my church. So, yeah, I always really enjoyed those two things around the holidays.
Huh. Sounds like fun. All right, Scott, what are some of your favorite traditions?
Going to look at the Christmas lights. I've loved doing that since I was a kid. It's something I've continued on now. And go seeing a movie in the theater on Christmas Day. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year, but I will still be able to fulfill that with Wonder Woman coming out on HBO Max. And like Logan said, watching Christmas movies, that's all I've been watching this whole month. Because I can't, once 12-1 hits, that's when I start doing Christmas stuff. So, and then I run it ragged for the month.
Yeah. All right, Matt, what about some of your traditions?
So the big one that I wrote down is usually on Christmas Eve, which obviously isn't happening this year. My cousin ends up having a huge party at her house, and it's basically just like, you know, there's music, Christmas music playing, Christmas lights are going. My nieces and nephews open up some of their presents, and lots of drinking is involved, which is always great. But obviously won't be happening this year, which is quite the bummer. But and then, like, as far as Christmas Day goes, usually just end up going to, like, my grandparents' house or something like that and just hang out with them for a little bit. But that's probably not happening this year either. So, you know.
Yeah, this is the make the best of the bad situation, right? You know, you try to do your traditions as close to you can. You're not going to be exact. Everybody's losing out. I mean, I'm an ENC Catholic, mostly just C. But I always go to 4 o'clock Mass on Christmas Eve. Obviously not doing it this year because you have to make reservations, and I don't regularly go to church anymore, so I don't want to take the spot of somebody else. I'm being a really good Catholic, you know, trust me. And but no, it's nice because we would go there and then we would go back to my parents' house, and we'd always have, it's the one night a year, you know, we're a bit more fancy and have lobster. You know, we're not Italian, but we do the seafood or the fish on Christmas Eve. I know my girlfriend, her family makes certain kinds of fish, and she complains about it incessantly afterwards. And then she's like, it's good, but, you know, only how much fish can you really eat in one night? You can only fry that many kinds of fish.
I appreciate that statement. How much fish can you really eat?
And then I also, one thing I always would do is, and I still do it, is I watch 24 Hours of a Christmas Story at least half the night. You know, I may not sit there for like longer than a half an hour at a time, but I'll keep going back to it and, you know, getting sucked into a scene. You know, I used to do it a lot when my kids were younger and they still believed in Santa. And that was like, that was always when I would like finish the wrapping and put together that big gift, whether it was my daughter's play kitchen or a dollhouse that had like 200 stickers you had to put on it, or putting together a Barbie cruise ship, all kinds of fun stuff, and trying to be quiet about it and still laughing all the way. And yeah, lots of fun stuff. You know, we used to do, go to our friends of ours used to have a Yankee swap. We used to go to years ago. And also living, you know, in New York or right outside New York is going down to Manhattan, you know, walking around, seeing the tree, seeing the store windows, just the city at Christmas is like the best time of year. I mean, sometimes it's really cold and, you know, you get soaked like you did a couple of years ago when I went down there with my girlfriend. I don't think she'd been down there and looked at the tree and all that. And, you know, it was a ton of fun because it's just, you know, it gets a little crowded and the tourists get annoying, but there's just something about Manhattan at Christmas time. It's so special. All right. So we're going back to Logan. What are some of the best Christmas gifts you've received over the years?
Okay. I'll start with my first one. In 2004, I got tickets to Monday Night Raw in Biloxi. I was about, I think I was 10 years old that year. So that was a huge, huge gift for me because I had never been to a live show. So that was a really great gift that me and my dad got to go down there. Throughout the years, I've gotten different gaming systems for Christmas. That was always the time of year that I would get stuff like that. So I got like a GameCube, a PS3, all that kind of stuff for usually for Christmas if I got any on a certain year. And I actually got engaged on Christmas Day 4 years ago. So yeah, that was probably the best present I've ever got. So me and her got me and her got engaged on Christmas Day. So always a day to remember for me.
What'd you say, Sean?
Said all mud pie.
That's great. All right, cool. All right, Scott. What are some of your favorite best presents you've gotten on Christmas?
When I was younger, I got a PS2. I was really excited for that. Like Logan said, that's like when Christmas came around, that's when I would get like a new console or a new video game until, you know, I got my own disposable income. I think one of my favorites, though, I know what I'm going to say, Sean's going to shit on immediately, but in 2001, when I was
Harry Potter,
12 years old, my mom got me the first 3 books that were my own that I didn't have to share anything. So I love them. Still have them. Most recently, I got a Giannis jersey, which I like a lot. Who plays for the Bucks. So Milwaukee Bucks for basketball. So, yeah, those are the couple that pop in my brain.
Were they a hardcover or soft cover?
Hardcover.
Yes, that's the way. See, I still have to get 2 of them on hardcover. I just haven't gotten around to it. You know, when I first got into the books a little bit later. Like, I think like after the first movie came out, I think I started reading it, and it was just easier to get. And then I'm like really got into the series, so now I want them on the hardcover.
It's kind of like smoking. It's a habit you should never start.
I knew it. That's why I forewarned you, Sean. I didn't want.
I know. You forewarned me. I already knew it was coming when you said it. So
as soon as he said the year.
Yeah, as soon as I heard the year, it was like.
I mean, he was already 45 in 2001, so. You know.
No, that is incorrect. Quit trying to steal Logan's gimmick.
All nice, right. Nice to have a couple of youngins on with me.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not the old cast. So anyway, Sousa, what are some of your best Christmas gifts you received over the years?
So getting a PlayStation, I want to say it was 97. That was a big one for me. Getting tickets to go see the Bruins play, Boston Bruins play in 2001. The game was in 02, but getting the tickets for Christmas 01, that was a massive deal for me. Like, I'm a diehard hockey fan, and that was the first Bruins game I had ever gone to, and like the seats were like 12 rows up from the ice, and like nice. my mind was absolutely blown. And then the other one, it's getting tickets to go see SmackDown in 2005. It was the last SmackDown in 2005 was at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. So yeah, that was pretty, and that was actually a joint gift because my parents and my best friend's parents kind of split. So me and my best friend can go, and my parents took us all. So that was pretty cool. That was in 2005, nice. Like I said. So
there's nothing like going to your first hockey game. It's just a feeling when you walk into the arena. It happens still, like when you go to hockey games. Mm-hmm. It's just you feel it in the air, and it's just so cool. Like, I don't know. It's just a feeling. Awesome. Sean, what are some of the best Christmas gifts you've received over the years?
I'm going to share a wide variety over the decades. For you guys, just because, so you can make fun of me.
We're gonna be here a while.
Yeah,
1880. I got a brick.
Okay,
the 1910s.
We're gonna go to the 80s. So, my first TV with an antenna when I was 10. So that was a big deal. And then an Atari, which you guys all brought up gaming systems. Getting an Atari was a big deal. Like the original Atari, I thought was amazing. And then when you're a kid, you know, obviously Transformers were a big deal. So I got those. As you go on, I got a computer. My first house show in 1987, or not my first house show, but I got a afternoon house show to the Capitol Center from my uncle, where he took me to see. It was I think Andre the Giant and Andre the Giant and Bundy versus Bigelow and Hogan was the main event. So that was pretty badass.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a badass at the Capitol Center. I think it was on a Sunday afternoon matinee show. So I love that. You know, and then over the years, you know, iPads have been great. I got a slide projector that we use outside to watch movies on the big screen, which I love.
That sounds great.
Yeah, recently, actually this past weekend, I got a personalized with my initials on it bourbon decanter, which I've wanted for years, which I've never had. So I got to look like those rich snobby people on those TV shows where they have their little drink cart and their little decanter where they pour themselves a drink. So it's all excited about that.
We fancy.
Yeah, that's why I said to my wife, I said, hey, look, we fancy white trash. I thought that was pretty funny.
Ain't them fancy lads.
And then not to get emotional or not to get, you know, like mud pie a little bit with his wedding, getting engaged. My mom died in January of 2004. And I literally got this, the last Christmas I got to spend with her was probably the biggest thing I've ever had. So not to end it on a down note, but that's a big one for me, too. So. There you go, guys. Covered the 80s all the way up to 2020. There you go.
Nice. Very good. So as for me, I could say, like, I got my first bike for Christmas when I was 7. I learned how to ride a two-wheeler in the snow. So, you know, very few bumps and bruises. I got a snake for Christmas 1 year, a garter snake.
Oh, jeez.
and it died on Easter, so it's kind of like Jesus. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, literally, I was an altar boy, and I was serving Easter Day Mass, and I came home, and my cousins were there already, and they're like, Andrew, your snake is dead. I'm like, what do you mean? It choked on a guppy or something. I don't know, but it was not in a good state. So end up burying Jake in the backyard because that was his name because he was a snake. It was wow. Before I was into wrestling. So some other ones, like there was 1 year, I want to say it was maybe 1979 or 80, that I'm going through my presents and I get this clothing box and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh shit, more clothes. I open up and it's like 8 Star Wars figures. And I think I like crap myself. I was like so excited, you know, what that box is probably worth today if I still had the figures. But yeah, that was so much fun. Those surprise gifts when they kind of, you know, your parents, either it was sheer luck because they like didn't know how to wrap a figure and decided, let's just put it in a box. Or it was just like, oh, yeah, let's mess with him and think he's opening clothes. But really, there's Star Wars figures in there. My father just, you know, he just went along with it just to keep me happy. So, yeah. And then just been other things over the years, like, you know, you just get like, for me, you know, also, and Sean, you know, to relate is that sometimes when you give your kids certain presents and you see their faces, you know, like I said, like when my daughter got her kitchen play set, you know, when my son has opened up and he got in wrestling figures, I did the same thing. And I did on purpose was putting, you know, his figures in a box thinking he was going to open more clothes. Or when I got my daughter One Direction tickets and she like screamed and ran around the room. Yeah. So much fun. Not like that little kid with the Mario, but,
yeah, that's a big deal. The kids opening presents, you kind of get to live through them. That is a big deal too. I should have mentioned that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and you try not to give it away because you get very excited when because you know you wrap them and you know that that's, oh my god, they're gonna open it. They're gonna open it. Oh my god, game face. You know,
yeah.
You try not to blow it. It's like, here, open this, and then sometimes it's like, shit, they gotta open this present first, or this present's gonna ruin it. We gotta do the order. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a hard work to keep kids you know, surprised. All right. Fun stuff, guys. So our last question before the fire round. These have been debated quite often. What really is a Christmas movie? There are a lot of movies that straddle that line. And I'm going to ask you guys, we have a list of a bunch of movies. We're going to go around the room. We're going to start with Shiflet and, you know, go to each person and we'll do the next movie. So Die Hard is probably the biggest one that gets debated quite often. Scott, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Of course it is. Come on. It's not even a question.
And how come?
It takes place at Christmas. The whole plot revolves around it being Christmas.
All right. Matt, what are your feelings on Die Hard being a Christmas movie?
100% Christmas movie for the same reasons. It takes place at Christmas. The plot revolves around Christmas. It's a Christmas party. That's why everybody's there. It's a Christmas movie.
All right, Sean.
So this came up on the Die Hard piece of the action, and I said no, not in a literal sense. And of course, that always gets turned sideways. So yeah, I can see why it's considered. I'm gonna be the voice of reason here and say, not in the normal sense of Christmas movie, but I understand why you would call it a Christmas movie. So I will say yes, you could consider it a Christmas movie.
Yeah. And now, in my defense, that pot has not dropped as of this recording.
No.
I just listen.
No. So I want to put earplugs in. It's a ride.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
And all right. And Logan, what are your thoughts? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. It revolves around a Christmas party, so it's a Christmas movie. So absolutely.
Okay, Sousa. Gremlins, Christmas movie or not?
This one I kind of struggled with. I'm leaning yes because he gets the gremlin at Christmas. So, and, you know, that's a big plot point to the movie. So, like, I'm torn on this one, but I'm leaning yes.
Okay. Sean, what do you think?
The movie came out during the summer. It is not a Christmas movie. Die Hard didn't come out at Christmas either, but that's different. No, I can't. This one's not a Christmas movie.
All right, Logan, what do you think?
I've never seen it, but I'll go with Matt.
Good Lord, man. What?
Batman Returns is literally the only other one of these that I've seen.
Wow.
What?
Yep.
Only 12 guys. Cut him some slack.
All right. Scott, what do you think? Is Gremlins a Christmas movie?
Yes. For what we stated before, it's a Christmas. He doesn't get it as a birthday gift. It's literally a Christmas gift that he gets it as.
Yeah.
And taking place at Christmas also helps.
Okay. All right. Sean, you know, we might have talked about this on Blockbuster Rewind, but is Batman Returns a Christmas movie?
No, I don't think it is. The scenery is amazing. It takes place during the winter, but no, I don't consider this a Christmas movie at all. No.
All right. Logan, being the only other one you saw, what do you think?
I'd go no as well. I don't think it really centers around the Christmas holiday. It's just kind of in the winter, and it kind of happens to be around Christmas, but I don't think it counts.
All right. What do you think, Scott?
I say no. It'd be different if they had like a Calendar Man cameo.
Or a Gotham Christmas parade they're planning.
I just say no with that. Like Sean said, it takes place in the wintertime, but that could literally be February.
Yep.
All right. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, no, for the reasons everybody else said. Not to belabor the point, but no.
All right. Sean, Lethal Weapon, Christmas movie?
I would love to say it is. I love Lethal Weapon. I think the movies are fantastic, the first one especially. But, you know, when I think Lethal Weapon, I know it takes place around that time, but I don't think Christmas movie. I think buddy cop movie and an all-timer, but no, not Christmas. Not for me.
Logan, never seen Lethal Weapon?
Nope.
Have you seen any of the Lethal Weapons?
Nope. Not one.
Logan's getting homework.
Where we see all these movies that nobody, everybody else has seen, but we haven't, because I know he's the same way.
As the host of the Action Movie Podcast, I am on this feed. I am shaking my head in disappointment.
I am. That is amazing to me that you have not seen that movie.
For shame.
I mean, I will give Logan the benefit of the doubt because they did come out, you know, before he was born, and the last one came out in the mid-90s. So I will give him the benefit of the doubt on that.
I've actually never seen the Chris Rock one. I've never seen that one. I've seen all the other ones multiple times, but I've never seen the Chris Rock one.
You got minimal. You got to see the first two. Then you can be considered good. Yeah. The first two at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen them on purpose. I'll put it that way.
Logan, check them out. They're good.
Yeah, I'll watch for sure.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what do you think? Lethal Weapon Christmas movie?
No, because it can take place anytime to me. I didn't even realize it took place during that time because all I just remember is the final battle scene in the, spoiler alert, the desert.
Well, I just remember the Christmas. Like when I think about it, I remember the Christmas lights, not Christmas per se, but the lights.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, you're the action movie authority here.
Yeah, I'm going to go probably not. I mean, it has, like you said, the Christmas lights, and I think there's some Christmas songs on the soundtrack, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, that's a movie that could have taken place at any other time of year. It just happened to take place at Christmas.
All right. So I guess we'll skip Logan. Scott, The Shining. What do you think? Is that a Christmas movie?
No, because in my mind, it just took place in the off season, and that's why they were up at the hotel. So it's not really a Christmas movie for me, per se. To be honest, I see it more as a Halloween movie.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, no. I was actually going to say that I see it as more of a Halloween movie, too. And I know it takes place in the snow, but not every movie that takes place in snow is a Christmas movie. So, nah.
All right. Sean?
No, an amazing movie. I could see, like Scott said, being a Halloween movie. But for me, what I resonate with it the most is the whiskey bar at the hotel in the movie, because I've actually been to that whiskey bar at that hotel in Colorado 2 years ago. My family and I went there and I got to drink at that bar. So, yeah, no, not Christmas.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to throw a couple curveballs in there after we talked about this one. Matt, is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a Christmas movie?
I have never seen this movie. I can say that.
It's fun, and Michelle Monaghan, Hachi Machi, so you should see it, action movie guy. Right. Sean, what do you think?
I, too, have not seen this movie.
Has anybody seen this besides me? Shiffle, have you seen it?
Surprisingly not.
It lost me at the title. I can't see myself sitting in front of a Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, no, sucks. No. It's
makes me think it's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I can't.
Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer. Oh, it's an action movie. Trust me.
Yeah. No, I know the movie. I've just never sat down to watch it.
Okay, so I'm going to throw some curveballs here at you guys then before we get to the final part. Home Alone. I just found a list of questionable Christmas movies on the interwebs. Is Home Alone a Christmas movie, Logan?
Absolutely. It's completely centered around Christmas time and being with your family and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
All right, Scott.
Yeah, of course. Like Logan said, like they leave for Christmas. It's not like they're leaving to go on vacation. Everyone's gone from that neighborhood because it's Christmas.
What? But they could have taken their vacation to Paris anytime.
Yeah, right? But everyone else that left, like the neighbors that had left, because they left because of Christmas as well.
Okay, Matt, do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie, 100%.
Sean, is it a clean sweep?
I would say yes. I think most people relate it to Thanksgiving because of when it was actually released in November. But yeah, it's absolutely a Christmas movie.
All right. Iron Man 3. Scott, would you consider that a Christmas movie?
Well, ironically, that's directed by Shane Black, who did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Mm-hmm. So I know there's lights and I think there's a Christmas party there, but I don't know. It's too sunny. Like when I think of Christmas movies, I think of like we get some snow on the ground. It's kind of dreary, but you know that has like a whole Miami scene. They're in Florida for a little bit, then California. So I'm gonna say no.
Matt, would you consider a Christmas movie?
Yeah, I'm also gonna go with no. It just doesn't strike me as a Christmas movie, really,
Sean?
At all.
I hate that movie, and no.
Logan.
I'm going to go no as well.
All right. Here's a good one. Matt, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, man. We'll go yes. What the hell? Let's cause some debate.
All right. Sean, do you think it's a Christmas movie? Or Halloween movie?
I'm going to have to say no because we don't put it out for Christmas. My wife puts it out for Halloween. So I'm going to say no.
Oh, okay. You know. Disneyland would disagree because they do, you know, they turn the Haunted Mansion to
Nightmare. I get it, but it's the motif. I mean, the motif is really Halloween, even though it's Christmas. So I don't know. Just I can't. It's ridiculous to even debate this movie.
The motif.
Motif or whatever you want to call it. The characters are Halloween. So.
All right. Logan,
a fine English gentleman talking about motifs.
Yes. Big word. Motif.
I hadn't learned that one yet in sixth grade.
God damn it.
All right, Logan, do you think Nightmare Before Christmas is a Christmas movie?
If you had asked me this before this podcast, I probably would have said no, but I think it's kind of a hybrid. I think it's a Halloween movie and it's a Christmas movie because it kind of involves both. So I'll go yes.
All right. And Scott, what do you think?
much how Sean hates Iron Man 3, I hate Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm going to say no. I just can't stand that movie.
All right.
I don't like it either, so you're good.
I just have never been able to get into the movie. I've tried watching the movie like 5 or 6 times.
I've
never finished it.
Tropey Tim Burton.
Tropey Tim Burton.
All right. The Ref, Sean, is The Ref a Christmas movie?
Oh, 100%. That is a fantastic movie that I guarantee you, we might be the only two that have ever seen it, but it's fantastic.
Au contraire, sir.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Logan, have you ever seen it?
I've never seen The Ref, no.
Scott?
Yeah, I have, and it's a Christmas movie.
And Matt, what do you think?
Absolutely a Christmas movie.
I am pleasantly surprised. Very underrated Christmas movie. Everyone should watch it.
All right, last one. Logan, I hope you have seen this movie. Trading Places.
Sorry.
Oh, no. Logan on the show is like me with sports. It's like, what's happening?
Yeah. All right. I'm very lacking in my movie department. I'm sorry.
Scott?
100%. Even though it came out in July, it's a Christmas movie.
All right. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say I would lean towards Christmas movie, but I could see either way, honestly.
All right. Sean, what do you say?
Absolutely not. It's not a Christmas movie. No.
It kind of centers around it, though. A lot of central to the plot.
It centers around a bet, not around Christmas. It's not a Christmas.
All right, bonus question. Are the Harry Potter movies Christmas movies?
Fuck no, they're trash.
Anybody want to debate
that? Andy, kick them off.
They're not trash, but they're not Christmas movies.
My wife would say they are based on the freaking tree I have sitting in my kitchen right now.
A lot of people would say that it's Christmas movies. I have never understood why they thought that, but I mean, I have my own problems with the movies, but that's because they don't follow the books that closely. But they are not Christmas movies. I've never understood why they're played during Thanksgiving and Christmas time.
I've never understood why they were made or played ever. So you're right.
I had to throw a little chum in
there. Andy, open up that can of worms.
Hey, like, I bring it on myself sometimes just by booking you guys together.
I will say, I think it's been pretty tame. I think we've been all right.
Yeah. Well, it's Christmas.
Yes.
You know, this is a holiday thing for children. Just Friends, is that a Christmas movie?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely, 100%.
Yep.
Yes. All right, so on to the final part of Great Debate. This is our rapid fire round. We're going to go around the horn, and I'm going to give you this or that questions, and you just give me your answer. You can give some reasoning, or you could just, you know, say your answer and pass on. So, Logan, starting with you, Christmas trees, real or fake?
Fake.
All right. Scott, what do you think?
I have a fake tree right now, but I like real.
And Matt?
I've always had fake, so I'll go fake.
Sean?
I have 13, so fake.
That's to clean up if you have a fake one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. But I it's a tradition of mine to go get the tree with the kids on a Friday night a few weeks before Christmas. And I don't mind cleaning up after. Scott, National Lampoon's Vacation or Home Alone?
Oh, I got to go with Home Alone. I've just seen it so many more times than National Lampoon. So I both are extremely quotable. Both are cult classics that everyone watches around Christmas, but I got to go with Home Alone.
Both are the Laughing Theater holiday episodes. Cheap plug. Matt, National Lampoon's Vacation or Home Alone?
Christmas Vacation.
All right. Sean?
Christmas Vacation, because that's what my Christmases are usually like. And it's a fabulous movie.
Yes. And Logan?
Home Alone, no doubt about it.
Shocker.
That's why I sat you guys on opposite ends of the room. All right. So, Matt, when you and your family opening presents, do you open them one at a time, like go around the room, or do you open them all at once? Madhouse.
Oh, complete madhouse.
Mm-hmm. Sean?
We have no choice because my wife wraps every single present, including the ones I buy for her because I get them shipped so I don't have to. And she puts these little tight freaking bows on them and makes them all pretty. And they take an hour to open, so we don't have a choice but to do it one by one.
Logan.
We do them one by one.
All right. And Scott.
Well, I'm a child of divorce. So my when I was with my dad, we would do it Christmas Eve. We would do it one by one. And with my mom, sometimes it'd be one by one. Other times it would just be like a madhouse. But we would show like, oh, what we got, what, you know, which was a surprise to, you know, my other parents. It's like, oh, also for children of divorce, this is very important. Learn how to play the game and never ask the parents for the same thing, because then they will get it, especially if they don't talk to each other. My little brother never learned that lesson. I learned it by age like 12.
Brilliant.
Scott, I didn't mean to laugh at that, but you kind of sounded like Matt Foley when you said that. I'm a child of divorce.
I actually want to add something to what Scott said is when you have your in-laws over and your sister-in-laws and your brother-in-laws, you literally, the kids, just the misery on their face where they have to open one by one and look at people and say thank you to each and every single one is misery, because all they want to do is get their toy and go play and tell people to fuck off. So
that sounds like hell to me now, never mind as a kid.
That's the way it is. It takes like 3 hours to open presents on Christmas Day with the family. It's ridiculous. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. Sean, do you prefer Secret Santa or a Yankee Swap?
Secret Santa's like white. Is that like White Elephant? No, I like no, White. We do White Elephant.
White Elephant's like Yankee Swap.
Okay, we do Yankee Swap.
All right, Logan.
Yeah, I like Yankee Swap a little better.
Scott.
It depends who you're doing it with. If you're doing like Yankee Swap with like friends and with friends, that would be fun. But Secret Santa with family, because, you know, especially if you get some joke gifts in there, that's just awkward for everyone if grandmother gets like the Kama Sutra sex book. So
I'll have to tell you off pod about the Harry Potter Secret Santa that I did.
I can't wait to hear that.
All right, Matt, what do you think?
Yankee Swap.
Wow, being a Red Sox fan, you actually do something called a Yankee Swap?
You see, I'm not really a Red Sox fan. It's a love-hate relationship, Andy.
Okay.
And by love-hate,
they call it
a swap.
Swap.
It's a swap.
Vince Russo's joined the call.
I'll tell you, bro. All right. Logan, do you prefer white lights or colorful lights?
I like colored lights.
All right. Scott?
White lights.
And Matt, what do you think of Christmas lights?
The color lights.
All right. And Sean?
Colored.
All right. Scott, when do you take down your decorations? Right away, or you leave them up for a few weeks?
January 1st.
All right. Matt?
I leave them up. I usually, by the second week of January, they're gone. But yeah, I leave them up.
Sean?
January 1st, like Scott.
Yeah. Logan?
Yeah, kind of New Year's Day is kind of the definite time. If it's not down before, then that's definitely when we'll take it down.
Yeah. Okay. Matt, Christmas Story or Elf?
Ooh, Christmas Story, but it's close.
Yeah. Sean?
Christmas Story, not close.
Yeah. Logan?
I can't stand a Christmas Story, so I'm going to go Elf.
hang up on him. Get him off now.
Movie sucks. Little kid's a twit.
You suck.
Santa's
get
an asshole.
Off. You suck. Dick.
Scott?
I'm scared to get some shrapnel, but Elf, basically the same thing that Logan said.
Oh, you suck too.
I can't stand that they play that all day on Christmas. It makes me so mad. It's so bad. I don't like it at all.
What are we doing?
Let's for the Explorer Christmas and piss off.
Oh no, I'm gonna go watch High School Musical, the series.
You gonna do that too?
They special
for uncultured swine.
Uncultured people.
Yeah. I'm just going to go watch the Big Show Christmas special on Netflix. So I'll see you guys after this.
All right. Sean, eggnog or hot chocolate?
Hot chocolate.
All right. Logan?
Hot chocolate.
Scott?
Hot chocolate, but I've never tasted eggnog and I've always wanted to. So, Susan, I'm going to have to ask you off the pod about which one to try.
All right, Matt, we know the answer, right? Is it eggnog?
It's eggnog. You anti-eggnog people. Very upset.
Yeah. For me, it's like I'll really only drink eggnog like a few times. After
but I enjoy every second of it.
If it makes you feel better, I have the moose punch, the punch bowl that they have for the movie, and I do put eggnog in that every Christmas Day, and I do have a glass out of the moose mug. So tradition. Yep.
All right, Logan, Rudolph or Frosty?
Ooh.
I'm gonna go Frosty.
Oh, okay. Scott?
Rudolph.
All right. Matt?
Rudolph.
And Sean?
I'm going to have to go with the Rudolph because the little puppet things are creepy as shit. So, yeah.
All right. Our last one. Scott, gingerbread or sugar cookies?
Ooh, those are... I think I have to go sugar cookies.
All right. Matt, we know your answer.
Yeah, but it is close, though, but I'll go gingerbread still.
All right. Sean?
Gingerbread.
All right. Logan?
Sugar cookie.
All right. Great rapid fire round. Great Christmas episode, guys. I want to say thank you, all of you. But before we go, I want to you guys go around the room and kind of tell everybody where they can find you on pods, social medias. We'll start with you, Logan. What do you have to plug?
We should have a chicken salad episode coming up. I think it comes out. Did it come out yesterday, Sean? It came out on Sunday, right?
As of this recording yesterday, yes.
Yeah, it came out yesterday. But yeah, that was on Starcade 89. That one's good. That was right in Sean's wheelhouse, so he had a hell of a time with that one. We just did the Goldilocks interview. Me and Sean interviewed her for Highway to the Impact Zone, and we will be recording the pay-per-view and Impact episode that'll go along with that. We'll be recording that later this week, but that's about it for me.
All right. Scott, what do you have to plug?
By the time you hear this, you should be hearing the season finale of Mandalorian on Pop Goes to the Couch. Nice. Be myself, Sean, and Andy. Maybe some other special guests in there. Also, the Blockbuster Rewind for this month with Indiana Jones should be out by this time as well. And you can follow me on Twitter at Scott_Shiflett.
All right. Matt, what do you got to plug?
Well, I am a part of Highway to the Impact Zone, of course, like the guys mentioned. You can find me also on Jenny and the Gems on the wrestling feed. New episode of that should be out in January. And my show over on the Pop feed, Piece of the Action, two episodes in the month of December, both group live watches of Rocky IV and Die Hard. Sean, you were on that one, and that was you were on the Die Hard episode. Scott was on the Rocky IV and the episode. So please check those out. Those are great fun.
All right. And Sean, what do you got to plug?
So as of this, I guess after this drops, you should hear the latest NWA Crock and Roll with Matt Souza will be our guest. It's one of two that we're doing this month, looking at September 85 super shows. So that's a fun show. I don't think Matt mentioned it because of his love of Jimmy Valiant, and he had to talk about Jimmy Valiant. So exactly that was a lot of fun. We brought up Highway to the Impact Zone. We brought up Chicken Salad. I was on the Mount Rushmore Christmas episode that dropped today. That was a whole hell of a lot of fun. So go give that a listen. And yeah, those are the things I'm doing right now. And you can catch me on Twitter at NWA Crock and Roll.
All right. Very good. For me, check me out. Laughing Theater. We had two Christmas episodes. Some of these gentlemen were part of them. We had Christmas Vacation and we had Home Alone. Making Mount Rushmore. That's right. The Christmas episode just went up. And then the next episode should be up right after Christmas. And that is, we talked about game show hosts and talk show hosts. And Sean was on that one as well. And that was a lot of fun. Ben hosted that one, actually. He was a panelist and did a tremendous job. Don't forget, check out Pop Goes the Classics. The Disney Theory should be back soon. We're going to be doing Peter Pan and Lady and the Tramp will be the next couple of episodes. And what else do we have to talk about here? We have as Scott mentioned, the Mandalorian podcast on Pop Goes to the Couch. We'll have the season finale up there very soon. And it, like we said, we could be supersized. And we will also be talking about, on an episode, all the announcements, Star Wars related, that was made at the Disney shareholders presentation online recently, and kind of give our excitement and what we think is going to happen with those. And don't forget, these guys are going to be on the next Great Debate Wrestling. That will be found on the wrestling feed. The Place B Nation Wrestling Network is the proper name, over in the month of January, as well as the next episode of Evolution with Tim Capel. We break down the career of Diamond Dallas Page. And don't forget, check out all the pods here on the Place B Nation Pop Feed, the Place B Nation Wrestling Network, the North-South Connection, and the Jenny Position. Check out the website, placebnation.com, each and every day. The Place to Be Facebook group, lots of fun content going on there, and PTBN Trivia Night coming soon. If you want to be a contestant, keep an eye in the group. The listing will go up very soon, and we'll get you on there. 9 episodes. You win episodes, you make it to the semis, you win the semis, you make it to the final, and we will crown our first ever PTBN Trivia Night champion, and you will get your very own championship belt. So, I want to thank all these guys, though. Logan Crosland, Scott Shiflett, Matt Souza, Sean Kidd. Hey, guys, Merry Christmas to all of you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Andy and Scott.
Merry Christmas.
That's just mean.
You'll get cold.
Hey, everybody.
I had a heart.
Happy Chinooka, everybody.
Yes, that's right. Well, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Happy Festivus, whatever. And thank you for listening to all the pods all year on all the feeds, supporting us from, everybody here at Place Me Nation. Merry Christmas to you all. And to all, good night. We'll check you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Oh God.